To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the Clinton Street Resistance Series every Monday night at the Clinton Street Theater. Monday, January 14th, Clinton Street Resistance will screen the film Dirty Dancing, where Baby learns about love, adult responsibility, and the dirty boogie. Again, that's Dirty Dancing, showing Monday, January 14th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
This is Isabel Sinclair with Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland. I'm here speaking with Lanann Miller from All-Star Labor and Staffing. And we're here to talk today a little bit about what All-Star Labor and Staffing provides, in particular to people who are coming out of incarceration and beginning to work. So, Lanann, I'm wondering if you could just start by introducing us to your work with All-Star Labor and Staffing and what that has looked like for you.
Certainly. Back in 2009, if folks can recall, that was the point of, you know, just the great economic chaos, for lack of a better word. The mortgage market was crashing, businesses were shuttering their doors, and the unemployment lines were long. And at that time, our director was operating a PEO, which is a professional employee organization. And at that time that the mortgage market was crashing, our director and her husband, they lost they actually lost, in the space of 2 weeks, 60% of their business, because the majority of the business was construction related at that time. And that was an industry that was really struggling during that time. And just to back up a little bit, for those that are not familiar with what a PEO is, a PEO, again, a professional employee organization, is a company or an organization that partners with a business. The business owner would prefer not to worry about any of the back office minutiae. They don't want to worry about payroll. They don't want to worry about taxes. So when a PEO comes along, they get super excited because they can say, hey, will you do this for me? And so essentially the PEO places that business owners, employees under their tax ID number, and then they run all of the payroll. They take care of all the taxes. They take care of all the HR and, again, all that back office minutiae. So at that time in 2009, they were doing that largely for construction companies, developers, and the like. So about that time, our director was becoming involved with a small team of women that were going into the Coffee Creek facility and facilitating weekly religious services for the women of Coffee Creek. And it would be there that our director, Ramona Matheny, would meet another fellow, Ramona. They shared the same name. So we had Ramona on the inside and Ramona on the outside. And they would come together on a weekly basis and just enjoy fellowship during these weekly religious services. And then it was time for Ramona on the inside to join Ramona on the outside. And she did so with great enthusiasm and also with the full intent of never returning to Coffee Creek Correctional Facility. So Ramona and the team, they were there to meet her at the gate. Ramona helped her get established in Albany, which is where she was released to. And once there, Ramona did everything that she needed to do to not return to prison. She took advantage of every service that she knew that was available, every social service. She got connected with the church. She got deeply involved with ministry, but the one thing that she couldn't find was work. It would seem that there was not a employer in the whole of Albany at that time that would give her an opportunity to just show them the kind of employee that she wanted to be. She didn't care how much she was paid to do that. She didn't care how long the time was, even if it was just 15, 30 minutes. It was an opportunity to show a potential employer the kind of employee and the kind of asset that she could be to a business owner. So she would then find herself at a point of great desperation, you know, panhandling with a cardboard sign on the side of the road somewhere in the city. And it would be there that someone from her not-so-shiny past would make her an offer that she couldn't refuse. And it promised her, you know, enough money to last her 4 to 5 months to help her just kind of keep the roof over the head and put food on the table for her children. And, you know, being in such dire straits, she did what she thought was the best and only option at that time, and she took that opportunity. And sadly, that opportunity would land her right back at Coffee Creek. And it would be at Coffee Creek that she would be diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and it would be at Coffee Creek that she would succumb to the disease. And so this is a point of great tragedy for everyone involved. You know, the question that kept being asked over and over and over again was, how could this be? How could this be happening? She did everything she knew that she could do to not be in this situation. She did absolutely everything she knew to do, but what would it have been like had someone given her an opportunity to work? You know, it's not to say that she would not have received that pancreatic cancer diagnosis, but what would the quality of her life have looked like? What would the quality of her care have looked like? There were just so many questions. So around that time, there was seemingly one client that our director Ramona had, and he was the owner of a staffing company. And after several months, he determined that he was unable to keep his staffing company above water. And so he met with Ramona and her husband, and between the three of them, they came up with an arrangement that worked well for everyone involved. And out of that conversation, All Star Labor and Staffing was born. A full-service, for-profit staffing agency with a non-profit heart and mission to help those that have been formerly incarcerated find work. So in 2009, we started off with Portland, and since then, we have added to our team Bend, Albany, Salem, and Eugene. So we have those five branches strategically placed in those communities where inmates typically get released to. And, you know, it's our singular goal to take over the I-5 corridor if we can and have more branches, which will give us more opportunity to offer second chance employment to those that are really, really looking for the opportunity to enter back into society and make positive contributions and to do so through employment, because they're, you know, finding any more that that's one of the, you know, things that play a big role in those that return to, you know, sadly incarceration, they haven't been able to find work. And so we work with backgrounds that are clean, not so clean, and almost everything in between. There's one background that we can't really partner with at this time, just due to liability issues with our insurance, and that's anything that's a sexual offense related felony. However, all of our branches, all five of our branches, have at least 4 to 5 resources where we can direct individuals with that particular challenge where they can find work. So we still want to have a conversation with everyone that is looking for employment, regardless of what your background is. And we're super excited about that story. And so, you know, the folks that come through our door, they're going to be greeted with a genuine smile, a genuine enthusiasm, because we love people and we love helping folks find work. And we understand that everybody that comes through our doors have had a moment before. There's a reason why they're coming through our doors. You know, there's a reason why they're looking for work. So our goal is to make sure that they leave more lifted than when they came, that they leave with their dignity intact, and that they just feel like they got loved on, you know, cared for, supported, even if we can't help them find work. By virtue of being a staffing agency, we're at the mercy of whatever requests are made in any given week. And, you know, folks come in with a whole, you know, host of challenges themselves, and sometimes it doesn't always work out that we can employ everyone, but we sure do our best to make sure they feel that they, again, were supported. And even if we can't find them work, we send them out the door with a nice handcrafted latte and an opportunity and some resources in another. And, you know, just hope that we've been able to be of assistance in some, you know, form or fashion. So yeah, we really are big on hospitality and service, and get super excited when we can come alongside job seekers and just do everything that we can to support them.
Thank you very much, Lynn, for describing some of that history of All-Star Labor and Staffing, which really does kind of lend to that unique perspective of why you're doing the work that you do. I'm wondering if you could describe for me, what is that process like for someone who is transitioning from incarceration and who would go to All-Star Labor for a job? But what does that look like for this person?
Okay, so one thing that I want to point out is that we have a really lovely partnership with the DOC transition team. And to that end, my position as Director of Community Relations gives me the awesome opportunity to go into about 5 facilities, 6 really total, where I get to, on a pretty steady rotation, share with inmates that are preparing to transition out about the opportunities that we have to offer. So I get the opportunity to go into CRCI, I go into the Coffee Creek Correctional Facility, CRCI is the Columbia River Correctional Institution, I go into OSP, I go into SCI and OSCI, and then during the summer where there's not a lot of snow on the road, I go out to Deer Ridge in Madras. And so these are wonderful opportunities for me to go in and share the good news about All-Star to folks that are preparing to transition out. So the way that it typically goes is that while they're in incarceration and waiting for that great day, sometimes they'll have the opportunity to sit with a transition coordinator and fill out an online application prior to release. In other instances, they might be able to send a letter of introduction to the branch manager at the respective branch where they'll be released to, that community that they'll be released to. But by and large, what the process looks like is, you know, I encourage them upon release to make contact with that branch and to call and set an appointment. And they can do the online application either prior to, as I just explained, or upon release, do it prior to the appointment, or they can use the laptops that we have on site. Each one of our branch offices have laptops that can be used by job seekers prior to their interview. So we have an online application, and as soon as that's completed, I instruct everyone to give us a call to set that appointment. We should get flagged once that online application has been completed and be sent a notification, at which point our front desk coordinator or a member of the staffing team will reach out and set an appointment with that individual. But I always encourage folks to take that extra step, that extra initiative, to just go ahead and be proactive and make that appointment. And so they come in for their appointment with their two forms of ID. Once an individual is released, that photo ID can be a little bit of challenge or take a little bit of time for them to secure. So until such a time that they're able to secure their photo ID or a driver's license, their prison ID will suffice. And then the other form of ID would be a Social Security card or a state-issued birth certificate. So they bring those documents in with them, and then they sit down with a member of the staffing team, and they talk about their job history. They talk about the work that they'd like to do. We have an honest discussion about the work that they would not like to do, so that we're making sure that we're, you know, keeping in mind those positions that are going to be the best fit and the ones that are going to be the most enjoyed. And then we talk about the opportunities that we have available. We have two pretty steady divisions. We have general labor out of our Portland office, and we also have a hospitality division or event staffing division. All of our branch offices have steady general labor, and all of our branch offices operate, or I should say recruit, for some level of event staffing. Our general labor is going to include production, warehouse, manufacturing, construction-related labor, landscaping labor. It'll be skilled trades labor, skilled labor positions, and then really everything kind of in between. And on the events side, there will be hospitality-related positions, cooks, line lead prep, dishwashing, busing, serving. In some cases, if it's a good fit, bartending. It could be parking lot attendance or maybe site cleanup for a event, say the state fair or something of that nature. But again, really everything in between. We have that honest discussion about just accountabilities and the protocols and the procedures. And, in some cases, depending on what's available that particular week, what we're recruiting for, sometimes individuals can walk out with a job opportunity right away, an assignment, so to speak. And then others might take a little bit of time. Because we do offer some level of temporary assignments that have a beginning and an end. But by and large, we're steering more towards temp to hire opportunities, which give our employees an opportunity to work for a client for a specified amount of time, typically 520 hours, and at the end of that process, if it's a good fit and still feeling good to the client and still feeling good to the employee, then our employee seamlessly transitions onto the client's payroll and becomes the client's employee. So we get super excited when those types of opportunities come to fruition and we can see our employees launching into long-term employment and an opportunity to build a career.
Thank you very much for that, Lynann. And I just want to mention, if you're tuning in now, you're listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland. My name is Isabel, and I'm here speaking with Lynann Miller, Director of Community Relations with All-Star Labor and Staffing. Lynann, we have a few minutes left, and I wanted to ask, in your position working with All-Star, if you could speak to, if you've had experience seeing what it's been like for people coming out of incarceration to start working, like it could, is there anything that you personally could comment on in that regard?
Well, one of the things that I love about the work that I get to do is going into these, you know, places of incarceration and just giving hope and hopefully, you know, leaving the folks that I get to share with, just leaving them encouraged. And one of the things that I say to them is that, you know, when you partner with All-Star, it's not a handout, it's not a hand up, it's a handshake, it's a partnership. We've got the opportunities, you all have the skills, and we bring those things together in the hopes that we can create long-term employment, that we can help them get on their feet, that we can be a part of this new chapter in their lives. We understand that we all have a past, but it's not about being defined by it as much as it is having that past motivating us to do something different. And so to that end, I tell them to, you know, encourage them to hold their hands open for whatever opportunity that comes their way, because you never know where your job is going to come from. You never know what where your opportunity is going to come from. So you don't want to leave, you know, any stone unturned, so to speak. And just encourage them to, you know that we understand that, you know, once someone gets released, it's a daunting process. It's not an easy process to juggle the things that need to be juggled, and the reentry process can be really super stressful. And so, you know, the hope is that by coming to All-Star and just giving us an opportunity to assist in any way that we can, that we'll be able to share in at least that piece of the burden that sometimes are on the shoulders of folks that have been formerly incarcerated. There's just a lot that they encounter upon release. And so I also, too, just, you know, tell them how extraordinary they are. You know, yes, there are some things that happened that led them to this particular situation, but there is a whole world of possibility beyond, you know, those walls. There is a whole world of opportunity beyond those walls. And, you know, we just want to be one of them. And, you know, just are looking forward to that partnership, because that's the way that we're going to shift the paradigm of employers or potential clients that, you know, are maybe haven't had an opportunity to work with someone that's formerly incarcerated. We have clients that wholeheartedly partner with our mission. We have others that are willing to consider it on a case-by-case basis. And so when we can have just rockstar, all-star employees that have felony backgrounds go in and hit it out of the park, you know, that door that was once opened by a crack is now blown wide open so that others behind them can come through it as well. So there's, you know, a huge responsibility that lies ahead, and one that we believe that they can be very successful at. You know, so I just, you know, let them know that they have value, and we are excited about the partnership and, you know, looking forward to assisting them in their pursuit of employment and the kind of life that they want to live and the kind of person that they want to be and the contributions they want to make to the community around them.
If I could ask one more question, and to the degree in which you'd be comfortable answering, but what would you mention as one of the more challenging or difficult aspects of your job?
Oh, my goodness. I would probably say the most challenging or the most difficult is seeing amazing potential and just having, I've had employees, especially when I was staffing, that I just saw such hope and such promise in, and just certain challenges that they came up against just caused them to lose the opportunity that they had before them. And those are situations that always grieve my heart because, you know, it's hard to not get, you know, invested in the employee that you're putting out to work, that you are gathering up opportunities for. And so I think that that's something that really, breaks my heart to see someone that, you know, they get attempt to hire opportunity it doesn't stick, you know, for whatever reason. You know, there's a challenge that gets presented, you know, maybe it's, you know, something that has to do with their recovery or, you know, a whole host of things. And so I think that that's probably a thing that, you know, makes me the most sad, you know, folks that maybe just arbitrarily determine that they're not going to go to work. And so they're a no call and a no show, and then they're no longer eligible for assignments. Those are moments that are just sad, you know, spring, you know, a lot of sorrow because, you know, we want everybody to be successful. But again, you know, we can't make people go to work. We can't, there's only so much that we can do. So I would say that that's probably a point of, you know, sadness for me, or the part that makes my, you know, the challenging parts of what I do, because I love the fact that I get to go out and I get to, you know, meet people and hear their stories and, you know, hope with them and encourage them. And when it doesn't work out, it's just a source of sadness.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Mm-hmm. I appreciate your perspective. Thank you.
You are so very, very welcome. You know, I got a chance to meet some folks out at SEI yesterday, and, you know, it was just really super important to me to, you know, let them know that, you know, sure, there's a reason why you're here, but there's going to be even greater purpose for you when you get released. And, you know, in a world that wants to discount you because you have a background, you know, please understand that you have incredible value, you have incredible potential. And to that end, you know, just, you know, have faith, have hope, you know, do all the things that you can do to grab hold and hold on to those opportunities that are afforded you. And, you know, just don't let anything, you know, get in your way, and don't let anything diminish the person that you are wanting to be and the person that you're striving to be, because there are contributions that, you know, that they can make and will make that are going to benefit the folks around them. And so I just, you know, tell them to be encouraged, because there's a lot of great work out there that they get to be a part of if they want to. So that's one of the things that I really enjoy about my work, is just getting that message out there that, you know, there's purpose and there's power behind that. And, you know, we're excited about seeing what they're going to do and how they're going to go about it. And by all means, give us the awesome honor and privilege of being a part of it. So get and let us be a part of your journey.
Thank you very much for your time on this show tonight, Lynn. I appreciate it tremendously.
You're so welcome, Isabel. Thank you for having me and allowing me the opportunity to share All Star with the listeners. And I hope that folks that are out there that are listening that, you know, are looking for opportunities, that they'll give us a call. And they can find out more information about us, if I can do a quick little plug, at www.allstarlabor.com. The numbers are there, and so they can give a call to whichever office is the closest to them for more information, or to simply call and set an appointment.
Thank you. Again, I've been speaking with Lynann Miller from All Star Labor and Staffing, and you've been listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland. Listen to this and previous Prison Pipeline programs at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. Just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Hi, I'm J.J. Johnson, host of the Gospel and More program, Sundays from 6 to 8 a.m. We are collecting yarn to make wool caps for the homeless community. Drop off yarn and caps at KBOO 20 Southeast 8th, Monday through Fridays, 9 to 5. We are also looking for knitters. For more information, contact KBOO Gospel and More at gmail.com or go to kboo.fm/gospel and more. The yarn and cap drive will end January the 31st.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Northwest Film Center's Real Music Festival from January 18th through February 16th at the Witzel Auditorium in Portland. Films showing this year include Mr. Soul, The Ballad of Shirley Collins, Solo, The Evolution of the One Man Band, Gospel According to Al Green,